Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jack Alice. He has been on the program before when we discussed his book, Navigating Our Shifting World. He's followed that up with a new DVD called 2012 and the Shift, The Power of Ceremony, which he describes as being important in the sense of ceremony in developing and practicing our spirituality. He has mentioned before that it was to reach a point to create the new world. At least I believe that was his intention, and he will soon tell us. So welcome to the program, Jack.
Much, Mike. Let me just make a comment first. You're doing something right on your end, because I think this is the third or fourth time I've been on your show. And every time I'm on your show, I notice a definite spike in people that visit my website, people that subscribe to my newsletter, and even people who purchase my products. So you're reaching out and touching some people. That's for sure. And I thank you for that.
Oh, I'm very pleased to hear it. We don't often get feedbacks like that, so that's very encouraging. Thank you very much.
It's very clear on my end, you know. And I was waiting for it this time, because the last time I was on your show, I got a big spike in my subscriptions. About the show's Friday. I think it's on Thursday and Friday. And this time, same thing. Thursday and Friday, I had the big spike in my email subscriptions. So I attribute that to you. Thank you.
Well, that's very good. That's what we're all about, trying to promote people's interest in these subjects. Now, I think we ought to really start by just recapping on what you believe 2012 is before we talk about the power of ceremony.
Well, okay. The more I learn about this, and I keep saying this, this message keeps getting kind of more and more refined the more I talk about it. Like, the more I learn about this, it seems like the less really that there is to talk about. It all seems like it's just such an uncomplicated and simple phase or process that we're involved in here. Mm. And I really believe that the shift really, or 2012 and the shift really, refers to nothing other than this time that we are currently in. And we've entered this time. There's no such thing as, you know, waiting for something that's going to happen in the future, waiting for something that's going to happen on December 21st, 2012, or any of the other, you know, dates that are predicted. I understand there's a prediction for tomorrow. Have you heard that one? I guess a lot of the Christian rapturists are predicting that something huge is going to happen tomorrow, and it's even on the mainstream media today in the U.S. in terms of people are, oh, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? And they're kind of joking about it, but the point being is that as far as all these predictions and everything are concerned, there's really not a whole lot of point in expending a lot of our time and energy on those things, because the shift is a process. It's not a point, and it is more of a gradual process taking place over time. And we've definitely entered this time. We've entered this window of time referred to as the shift, because these things are already, they're happening. They've been happening for a while now, and they're happening with an increasing acceleration as far as more and more of these kinds of events are happening. And what are we talking about as far as events? Well, we're talking about, basically we're talking about transformation is essentially what the shift refers to. And it refers to a transformation from one world that is reaching its inevitable end, because it is an unsustainable world that cannot, you know, continue to survive in the way that it has for the last 6,000 years. And with the ending of that year, even though the cycle is longer than a 6,000-year cycle, but that's the world that we're talking about. And the ending of that world sets the stage for the opportunity to create an entirely new world, to replace it with. And this would be a very, very different world. It'll be a world of energy, a world of spirituality, and a world in which, you know, we as spiritual beings will really do everything, you know, everything, we'll be doing everything very, very differently, and the world will be very different also. So the shift is happening. It's happening now. And another one of the common threads to this whole thing, and this is something that I primarily learn through the indigenous prophecies, which really is, for the last two or even 3 years now, the primary source of my information has been the indigenous prophecies. I've really been immersing myself in them. Met a Mayan elder by the name of Eric Gonzalez, with whom I formed an affiliation. And I've learned a great deal from Eric. I've been to several of his Mayan ceremonial events in Northern California. Going to be attending another one this coming August. And one of the things that I continue to learn from, and one of the things that's so valuable about going to Eric's event in August at Deer Mountain in California is there are lots and lots of other elders there from other cultures. Not only are there, there were several elders there, about five elders total from Guatemala, Mayan elders there, but there were also elders representing a wide array of other cultures and nations. A lot of Native American elders were there. A gentleman from the Oromo Nation in Africa was there, and you know, so all kinds of indigenous wisdom, you know, was represented there, and they were all basically saying the same thing. And I was so reassured and relieved to see that they were all saying the same thing that I said that I was saying in my book. And basically, one of the most common threads to the shift here is that this is primarily a spiritual process. This is a spiritual phenomenon, and it's an opportunity for us to transform ourselves and to transform our world spiritually. And it always comes back to that. And anybody who tells you that the shift is, you know, something other than spiritual, or tells you that it's more of a mundane thing, or that it has something to do with the, you know, the mainstream political system or the mainstream political system in any way, that simply just is not the way it is, at least as far as the ancient indigenous wisdom is concerned. This is a spiritual process, it's a spiritual phenomenon, and it's a spiritual opportunity, you know, for each and every one of us. Not only to transform ourselves internally, spiritually, each and every one of us individually, but also to transform the world externally to us in this same way, and that is spiritually. And so that's it. That's it in a nutshell, Mike. It keeps getting kind of less and less to talk about, briefer and briefer. You know, the more I learn about this, but that's it. That's it in a nutshell. Hello, are you there?
Hello. Hello. Yes.
Okay. I thought I lost you there. Okay.
No. Fine. I think to be fair, perhaps we would say that as the old paradigm is breaking down, people would associate the changes in our society and around the world with the process of the shift. So, if we view it that way and see the ultimate aim is this spiritual transformation, then I'm guessing perhaps that is the right way to look at it, because you have said that to survive these earth changes, we have to take the opportunity to transform ourselves and the world.
Absolutely. And I think another important thing to plug into this whole thing, Mike, also is the fact that the transformation we're talking about is really quite comprehensive. It's transformation on every possible level. It's dimensional transformation in terms of transformation here in our third-dimensional material world. It's also the opportunity to transcend or ascend dimensionally. That's another aspect of this, and another opportunity that's here is to make that, you know, ascension to a higher dimension, which would be, and that's where the real different world aspect of this comes in. And it exists on every possible level. Not only does it refer to the transformation that we see taking place in the old paradigm system around us, in terms of virtually every aspect of that system is pretty much, you know, falling apart at this point, from, you know, our system of money to our system of energy and all of those things, our system of politics. You know, none of that stuff's working anymore, our systems of education. But not only does it consist of a paradigm shift in that arena, it also consists of, as you referred to a second ago, earth changes, monumental earth changes, which are a part of this transformation process. We human beings aren't going through this process alone. We are joined in this process by virtually every particle of our solar system. The Earth is participating in this process. Our sun is participating in this process. All the other planets are participating in this process. And our one true mother, Mother Earth, is also very, very engaged in this process. And we can see that in terms of it's time for Mother Earth to go through a cleansing and purification process. And again, we can see that taking place in our world with all the earth changes, the volcanoes and earthquakes and extreme weather and all of the rather tempestuous ways that Mother Earth is behaving at this time is all part of her purification process. So this transformation we're talking about exists on a lot of different levels, on every possible level, really. That nothing is, as the Hopi prophecy said, no stone will go unturned. And the key really to this for us as humans is to recognize, primarily that we derive the primary source of our power and the primary source of our protection in relationship to these changes. We derive that power from our spirituality, from our higher consciousness. That really is the primary thing of importance we need to take with us through this. And the other thing that's so important, Mike, obviously you are aware, and I'm sure everybody in your audience is aware, that there's an awful lot of fear in relationship to all this change right now in our world. Not only the earth changes that people see happening and that seem so overwhelming at this time, like the earthquakes in Japan, but all the other changes that are happening. There's an awful lot of fear at the current time, which is understandable because people do tend to fear change. They tend to resist yes. change, and in most cases, people just want things to stay the way they are. But what people really need to be aware of in relationship to this change is that the key to it, and the key to us also getting control and managing our fear in relationship to it, is not to resist all this transformation, not to resist all this change. The key to it is rather to flow with it, to flow with these shifting energies, to flow with these transforming energies, and to actually to join it, to be a part of it, to blend with it, again, not only internally, but externally. And the people who are struggling with this and who are having a hard time with it are the ones who are resisting this change. They don't want it to happen. They want everything to return to the way it was, and they want to fix the old paradigm system and those sorts of things. And those are the ones who are really struggling with this because they're fighting it, as opposed to flowing with it. There's a very, very important lesson in there for all of us to learn as far as flowing with this, rather than resisting it, because the world as we know it is definitely, people often refer to the end of the world in relationship to these things. Well, it is not the end of the world. It simply is the end of the world as we know it. And so for those people who resist that and who want the world, to return, to the good old way, the good old days, like it was 10 or 20 years ago, that just is not in the cards. So, those are the people that are going to be struggling with this the most. And who need to kind of get in the rhythm and flow and the blending with these changes as opposed to fighting them.
Mm. Now you've described the death of this world as an unimaginable blessing, which might sound strange to some people. How would you qualify that?
Well, I'd qualify it by saying that that the world that I'm referring to that's coming to an end, again, is our old paradigm world. And by our old paradigm world, I'm referring primarily to the old paradigm world of our Western civilization, which began about 6,000 years ago in Sumer or Babylon, in the Middle East, and has continued to develop for the last 6,000 years until we've reached the point we're at now. And the reason that the ending of this paradigm or of this world is an unimaginable blessing is because, well, look at what this paradigm is doing to our world. It's basically destroying the fabric of our world, and it's destroying the web of life. It's destroying the quality of our water. It's destroying the soil. It's destroying the air. It's destroying the environment that we as human beings need to survive as a species. So this world is not working, and it's not working basically because this is a world that is unsustainable. The mistake that was made 6,000 years ago when this civilization, launched on its course was this civilization made the decision that it was going to worship at the altar of materialism, and in doing so, it pretty much, lost its grip on its connection with spirit and its connection with the spirit world. And with the thing that the indigenous people had been doing for so long, and that was living, in harmony with nature, living within the rhythm and flow of life, within the rhythm and flow of the forces of nature, and within the rhythm and flow of Mother Earth, they were sustaining themselves quite well in the way that they were because their lifestyle was a sustainable one, and this civilization's lifestyle is not a sustainable one, and because of this rather faulty foundation, this is a world that basically, cannot survive. And it's also a world that the reason it's a blessing is because look at what it's doing. Look at what it's doing to the quality of our world. Look at what it's doing to, again, like I said a second ago, this is a civilization that's basically destroying the very environment that we as human beings need to survive. So, that definitely is something that, that needs to be, that's not a good thing, to continue in that way. And this is something that, that needs to be fixed.
Right, yes. And I know that you have said that if we don't let go and create the new world, we will perish, presumably, the same as earlier civilizations have done.
Absolutely. And there are those who believe, like the Hopi, for example, believed that believe that we are currently in the fourth world, on the verge of entering the fifth world, or on the verge of having the opportunity to enter the fifth world. They maintained, and most of the other indigenous cultures, ancient indigenous cultures, such as the Maya, maintained that the world has already been destroyed four times. And it's been destroyed four times essentially for the same reason. And it was because we as human beings are faced with a very, very important challenge. One of the challenges that we're faced with is this third-dimensional material paradigm that we're living in, that we're kind of stuck in, if you will. It has a lot of temptations. There are a lot of very tempting and intoxicating temptations to this third-dimensional material world. And what happens with human beings very often is they forget. They forget the original teachings. They forget about their connection with the original wisdom. They forget about their connection with spirit, and they become intoxicated with all the goodies of this material world. And once that happens, that's when things get out of whack, and it's at that point where, once things become imbalanced in that way, it's only a question of time before that world can no longer survive. So the Hopi also told us very, very emphatically, again and again, they told us that on each occasion, those humans or those beings or people who were around during those previous previous times, those who kept their connection with the original wisdom, those who kept their connection with spirit, those were the people who did in fact survive, to make an attempt, to build the world anew. So it's all in our hands as human beings. It's basically in our hands, to reform those lost connections we're talking about, to reform our connection with spirit, to reform our connection with the rhythm and flow of life and with the rhythm and flow of nature. And those of us who do that, we'll be okay. We'll survive. And that's the key to this whole thing. And when we talk about, the primary source of our power and the primary source of our protection is our higher consciousness and spirituality, that's basically what we're talking about. So, yes, indeed, this has happened before. And human beings, that one of our primary challenges of living in this third-dimensional world essentially is just that. It is keeping our priorities straight as far as, the most important thing in our world is our connection with spirit. It isn't our material goodies. But that is a trap that we as human beings continue to fall into again and again and again, because this third-dimensional world we're talking about, it's very alluring, it's very tempting, it's very intoxicating, and we tend to fall into the same trap over and over and over again. So it's time to correct that imbalance again. And again, there's nothing wrong with the material world. The material world is a wonderful thing, and I enjoy living in the material world, and I enjoy the pleasures of the material world. But it's a question of keeping things in balance, as opposed to things getting imbalanced, in favor of, such an exclusive emphasis upon the material world, to the exclusion of our connection with spirit and with the spirit world.
Yes, indeed. And I know that you have said that our spirituality is our protection. Some people might wonder how that works. Perhaps you would like to comment on that.
Well, okay. Let's see. What would be the best way to put that? Our spirituality is the primary source of our protection for one very, very important reason, and that is when we think about the challenge that we're faced with as human beings. We're looking at the challenge of monumental paradigm shifts, monumental earth changes, those sorts of things. And very often when we think about those things, or when we look at those things, it seems like, good gosh, how could we ever survive? you know, how could we ever survive in the face of changes that are that monumental? You know, we'll just get swamped in it all. You know, how could we ever survive, you know, for example, you know, without our system of money as it is? Or how could we ever survive without our system of energy as it is? You know, if the electricity goes out and if our money's not worth anything anymore, you know, what the heck are we going to do? Well, there's two ways of understanding how our spirituality and our higher consciousness is the primary source of our protection and our power here. One is from the point of view of us remembering that when we connect with our spirituality, another power enters our world, and we actually connect with another aspect of our own power as multidimensional beings. And that's the power of the supernatural. And by virtue of connecting with the power of the supernatural, we as spiritual beings, when we reach our full potential as multidimensional spiritual beings, we become far, far more powerful than we are when we don't have that connection with our spiritual self, and when we don't have our connection with the supernatural. When we do have that connection, we become far more powerful. And as a function of connecting with spirit, we are actually able to manifest everything that we need in this world as a function of our connection with spirit. And again, we have the lesson of our indigenous ancestors who were doing this, you know, for thousands and thousands of years before, you know, before Western civilization, you know, endeavored to destroy them all. They were surviving very, very nicely, very, very sustainably, and they were doing this on the basis of A, their connection with spirit, and B, their connection with the rhythm and flow of life. Another thing that we need to be aware of, not only our connection to the power of the supernatural, also has to do with the very simple fact of one of the aspects of our spirituality consists of us taking responsibility or reassuming complete responsibility for that spirituality. Virtually all the valuable spiritual traditions, you know, from every culture on the planet, will always teach us and tell us that the primary source of our spirituality, you know, comes from within ourselves, comes from us learning to trust ourselves as individuals. And it comes from our connection with spirit, and it comes from our connection with, you know, the rhythm and flow of life and the rhythm and flow of nature, which are all things that we as human beings take responsibility for. One of the things that's happened in our modern world, in our Western civilized world, is that the vast majority of the masses in the Western civilized world have abdicated that responsibility. They've given it away. And our Western civilized world is basically a world of dependency. In which the system endeavors, you know, to take care of us, you know, from cradle to grave, and basically to control us and to do everything for us, and we basically just become, you know, pawns in the game, or we become, you know, like a herd of cattle, you know, just wandering around aimlessly. The key to this, in terms of being able to survive these paradigm shifts and earth changes we're talking about, consists of us reassuming complete responsibility for our own lives. In other words, reassuming responsibility for growing our own food, for our own energy, for absolutely every aspect of our lives, because those things may not be there very much longer. We currently have a system of money and a system of technological infrastructure that is very, very delicate, very, very fragile. You know, if something goes out in one location, or if a satellite goes out or something like that, you know, the whole blooming system can come down. And we as human beings, it's important for us to think about, you know, well, what are we going to do if the electricity goes out? What are we going to do if we can't rely upon our system of money anymore? How are we going to take care of ourselves? What are we going to do? And it's important for us to reconnect with that in terms of, you know, reassuming that responsibility, so that if and when those things happen, we will know what to do and we'll know how to take care of ourselves, and we won't be, you know, helpless pawns or helpless dependent victims, you know, simply because the system goes fluey. Then all of a sudden we don't know what to do, and we're just helpless to do anything about it. And again, that's where so many of our there are a lot of folks around the U.S., and I'm sure they're doing it all over the planet, who are beginning to think very seriously about the idea of sustainable, beginning to form sustainable communities, beginning to, return to nature, beginning to think in terms of, growing our own food and forming our own seed banks and building our own shelters and, once again, living sustainably and living in harmony with nature. So if and when, these paradigm shifts occur, we'll be able to, to move through those times. We'll be able not only to survive those times, but we'll be able to flourish in those times the way we were designed to. I very much believe that as human beings living in a divinely ordered universe, I don't believe the divine spirit of a living universe designed us to be, helpless pawns of a system that just, sucks us dry. We were designed by the Creator, to be self-empowered, to take responsibility. To be spiritual warriors, to be able to take care of ourselves, and so it always comes back to this. Now, and Mike, a lot of people are very kind of overwhelmed when they hear this. They think, oh my gosh, what's he talking about? Particularly a lot of people who are let's say stuck in mainstream jobs or they need that paycheck and they're not in a position to just chuck it all and go off and live in the mountains like it might sound like I'm advocating. But what it's really important for those kinds of people to know is, go ahead, you keep your job, keep your paycheck. If you need to keep driving on the freeway every day to work, keep doing all those things. But people can begin to free themselves, and they can begin to free themselves in the little ways. Most importantly, they can begin to free themselves as far as they can begin to free their minds. They can begin to free their spirits. They can begin to free their hearts. And even though, they're stuck in a mainstream job and dependent upon a paycheck, to pay the bills and to keep gas in their gas tanks, whatever, they can begin to take the steps that are necessary to free themselves up in other ways. So, I don't intend this message to be a message of, desperation, for people like that in terms of, there's nothing that they can do and everybody's just going to be screwed. That's not the way it is at all. Each and every one of us can begin to work on these things in our own way. We can begin to do the little things. Each and every one of us, for example, can take responsibility for the food that we eat. We can take responsibility for not eating the food that they sell in the supermarkets, which is basically, poison, basically very, very highly contaminated. We can begin to buy our food from reputable sources, from health food stores, from people that sell our organic products and, food that still retains its vital essence and its vital nutrition. And each and every one of us can begin to take responsibility for things like that. We can do it, ASAP. We can do it right away. So this is not a question for those people who feel overwhelmed by this. Please don't. Each and every one of us can begin to take these steps and begin to take the baby steps, can begin to take the little steps that are necessary. And then when you do that, when you begin to take those little steps, those baby steps, and begin to prepare yourselves, then when things do happen, when the system goes down or when these paradigm shifts, begin to happen, you won't be caught off guard, and you'll be equipped, to be able to handle it. As opposed to just being, like we said, helpless in the face of it all.
Now, so really what it comes down to is that the old paradigm has stripped people of their power, so they need to reclaim it and help to create a new world. Is that the sort of essence of your message there?
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's a nice way of summarizing what I just said, just reclaiming our power as multidimensional spiritual beings and reclaiming our power as beings who are fully capable of taking care of each and every aspect of our own lives, and it really all comes back to that. As long as we're dependent upon somebody else taking care of us, or, if we're dependent upon, our electricity coming through wires from who knows where, and from our food, coming from the supermarket from who knows where. As long as we're dependent upon those things, we essentially have given away a good chunk of our power. So yes, absolutely, reconnect with our full power as multidimensional beings. And you know what, Mike? As soon as enough of us do this, reconnect with the source of that power, these changes that we're talking about, I'm referring to the good changes. I'm referring to changing the world for the better. the changes that we're talking about, you know, once enough of us do that, they're just going to happen. They're just going to happen almost as if by magic. That's something that's often referred to as critical mass. Because we get so accustomed to think the change consists of, the change is very cumbersome and clumsy and material, and it's the kind of change we see, you know, in our political systems, you know, where nothing changes for, you know, years and years and years and years. Well, that's really not the way things change, particularly when things are changing in a big way. I mean, you know, the primary source of change, when we're talking about the big kinds of changes associated with the shift, are energetic in nature. In other words, once we reach a certain energetic level, you know, as a human mass, you know, once we reach a certain energetic level, the changes are just going to start happening, and they're going to start happening automatically. And those who are, you know, perpetrating a lot of the, you know, the nastiness that are currently being perpetrated upon the human race, they're going to lose their foothold. They're just not going to be able to pull it off anymore, because we as human beings are basically going to say, no, we're not going to let you do that to us anymore. Sorry. You know, we're going to take it back. We're going to, we're going to take our power back, and we're not going to allow you to teach us like, you know, we're not going to allow you to treat us like, you know, a bunch of helpless children anymore. No, we're not going to do it. As long as we put our feet down and say no, things are going to start happening big time.
Right. Now, I'll ask you one more question relating to your earlier book, and then I think we ought to start talking about your new DVD. One of the changes, apparently, is a pole shift. Now, what effect is that going to have on the Earth or the people?
Well, as far as the pole shift is concerned, that is one of so many different possibilities as far as what might happen. Certainly, if a pole shift was if the Earth's north and south electromagnetic poles were to switch polarities, certainly that would be huge. I mean, that would be very, very big. And I don't actually know what happens when something like that happens, but certainly it would be very, very monumental as far as the effect it would have upon our infrastructure. And certainly I would also believe there would be some pretty massive earth changes that would be that would coincide with that. We know that the last time that something really huge happened on the planet Earth as far as a major paradigm shift kind of on the same at the same level as what we're talking about now, that the last time something like that happened was approximately 13,000 years ago. Now, there's a lot of difference of opinion about the dates and everything, and it varies, you know, a little bit this way and a little bit that way. But as far as I understand it, around 13,000 years ago, you know, the Earth did experience a major, major, you know, facelift as far as Earth changes are concerned, and that was the time of the Great Flood. You know, that is accounted for in you know, so many of our ancient texts and scriptures, and those sorts of things. And Mike, what was the original question? I got off on that tangent, and I lost the thread there.
Well, you're really covering it, because I was just questioning what the effect would be of the pole shift on the Earth and the people.
Right. Thank you for returning me. You know, there are so many different threads, and there are so many different there's so much to this topic. I do that all the time these days. I just start talking and I start going off, and then I forget where I was, and I need to be brought back. But
right.
what I was getting at there, where I lost it, was what many people think is that there are many, many possible reasons why what happened 13,000 years ago happened, why what happened then happened. And one of the theories is that was the last time that the Earth experienced a north and south electromagnetic pole shift. That is one of the possibilities of something that could happen now. We're looking at a lot of scientific evidence that would tend to indicate that, yes, indeed, the electromagnetic field of the planet has been diminishing. It's been diminishing for a long time. We're looking at 2,000 years or so. It has been diminishing. It's diminishing at an accelerating rate, and we will reach a point, you know, where it will hit zero. And there are those, we don't really understand any of these things because we've never been through it, you know, in our recorded history. But there are those who believe that when, you know, the electromagnetic field actually hits zero, that it would be at that point that there would be a pole shift. But there is such wide disagreement about when exactly that will actually happen. And I'm beginning to think that a pole shift may not be a part of, you know, what we're in the midst of now. It certainly is a possibility, but there are those scientific people who estimate on the basis of their scientific data that we're really not due for a pole shift for maybe another, I don't know, 50 or 100 years or something like that. Now, I'm not sure about any of that. I know that a pole shift is one of many possibilities for this time, but it's one of many, many, many. And certainly, you know, if there was to be a pole shift, that would be very, very big. But it's real important not to see that as, you know, the only aspect of this. It's one of many possibilities. I don't know how many, it's one of 100 possibilities, let's say, about all the various things that might happen. And certainly, right, it's a very real possibility. If it was to happen, it would be very, very big. It would be at those times where we as human beings, again, would need to exercise, you know, the highest of our highest powers in terms of, you know, being able to survive something like that and being able to be spiritually guided at a time like that, you know, to be in the right place and to do the right thing and to connect with the powers of our supernatural and all those kinds of things. But yes, it would be huge. It's not necessarily a feature of the shift. It might be, and that's kind of the way I view it. But, Mike, there are so many others. You know, people always say, well, what about this and what about that? And I always answer it the same way. Those are all possibilities, and there's a lot of evidence for a lot of different things, you know, that might happen, and certainly that is one of them. And it's going to happen at some point. So certainly, you know, that's how electromagnetism works. And, right, you know, we do appear to be entering an era where we're getting close to that once again happening. But as far as exactly when it happens and what it's going to consist of when it does happen, I don't have the answer to that. I just continue, Mike, in relationship, you know, to the hugeness of a lot of this, I just continue to work at my own spirituality. That's the one thing that I continue to do, and it's really the one thing that I as a human being, you know, that can do. In the face of all this, and it always comes back to that. It always comes back to that.
Yes, because I know on your DVD you did in fact mention that the Hopis said that the power of their spirituality saved them. So it's a very important point. I agree with you in principle on what you said about the likely pole shift. I don't feel it will happen on this occasion, but there you are, as you said, they're all possibilities. Now, how is ceremony looked upon as contacting with spirit?
Well, let me just say a little bit about how this message for me evolved, because right, there is a whole kind of evolution, you know, to where I ended up at. And what I'm doing now, Mike, the primary thing I'm doing with my work now is I'm hitting the road again soon, and I'm going to be going to a lot of venues and kind of bookstore type venues and healing center type venues and those types of venues, and they're inviting me to give talks, and the talk that I'm giving now is a talk that consists of about an hour and a half long, and we'll say that, you know, half of it consists of talking about the shift, talking about many of the things that we're talking about now. And the other half of it consists of telling people that it always does come back to the power of our higher consciousness, the power of our spirituality. It always comes back to that. And for me, one of the best ways to do this is through ceremony. And so the remainder of my presentations and my book signings and those kinds of things, those events I'm going to be doing, not only consist of talking about ceremony, but consist of actually doing ceremony. And ceremony, specifically, what ceremony is, and this is a very, very important lesson that I've learned from my from my Mayan elder friend and ally, Eric, because I attended, I've attended several of their ceremonial events, and I was reminded of something at their ceremonial events. I was reminded of something that I'd known for a long time, but that, you know how, Mike, very often we know something, we've known it for our whole lives, but every once in a while it can kind of slip through our fingers a little bit, and we kind of forget, and we need something to remind us, and oh, yeah, that, you know, I remember how important that is. Well, that's how participating in these Mayan ceremonial events hit me, because at these events, all we really do for 5 days is ceremony. And what I mean by ceremony is anything that we do, that we as human beings do to connect with spirit. It's anything that we do to connect with spirit with our intent. It's anything that we do to connect with spirit with our vibration. In other words, the vibration of the ceremony. The ceremonies, the Mayan ceremonies, and the ceremonies right now that I'm facilitating are ceremonies that consist of prayer. And prayer basically is nothing other than talking with spirit. That's all that prayer is talking with spirit. And, you know, how can we make a connection with spirit if we don't talk with spirit? You know, it's absolutely, you know, that's an essential ingredient of all this. And the ceremonies also consist very importantly of creating this vibration through music, through chanting. I've got a whole, they're sitting right next to me here. I've got my candles going right now, and I've got a little buffalo spirit drum that I recently purchased at a Native American shop here in Wisconsin. I've got my buffalo spirit drum. I've got my shakers from Paraguay, my moth shakers from Paraguay. I've got a couple of singing bowls. And essentially what I do is, after we do some praying with the audience and, you know, talking with spirit and doing that, I will then engage with some singing and some music, you know, with audience participation, in which, you know, we pray and sing together, and basically we create a vibration. We create a vibration that does the thing that we're talking about that we need to do, and that's connect us with spirit. And one of the things also about ceremony that I think people need to be aware of is that ceremony is a very important tool for doing this. But ceremony also is something. It isn't like the Christians where they have an hour a week and, you know, I'm covered now because I went to church for an hour and now I don't have to worry about it. You know, I don't have to worry about it again until next week or whatever it might be. Ceremony is something that we need to do a lot of. We need to do it every day. We need to spend lots and lots of time in ceremony because this is one of our primary tools and one of our primary methods that we have, to connect with spirit. And to connect with the rhythm and flow of these forces, that we're talking about here, and one of the great misconceptions, I think, Mike, also that, and I'm sure that a lot of people would disagree about this. A lot of the New Agers would also disagree about this. But there's a kind of a misconception out there that spirituality is something that just kind of comes to us and happens, and, you know, we can go to a weekend workshop and, you know, we just learn it all there, and suddenly everything's different and. And there it is, we don't need to worry about it anymore. That's really not the way it works. And developing our spirituality is something that takes work, and it takes a lot of work. And once again, we have the lesson of our indigenous relatives in this regard. For our indigenous relatives, the most important thing in their life was their spirituality. Their most important tool for developing their spirituality was their ceremony. And they worked really, really, really hard at it. Really, really hard at it. Our spirituality is not just something that happens. It's not easy. We need to work at it. And one of the reasons we need to work at it, like I said a few minutes ago, is, this material, third-dimensional material world, can be very intoxicating, very enticing, and it's very easy for us to forget these things. It's easy for us to get distracted from our spirituality and to get distracted from what really matters. I notice myself getting distracted every day. Every day I get distracted. I either fall back into my baggage, you know, that I carry with me, that I've, you know, learned in my being born and reared in the old paradigm world. You know, I've got as much psychological and emotional baggage as anybody. And it simply is a question as a spiritual person, it's a question of me letting go of that baggage. You know, so that I can get myself where I need to be in terms of connect with spirit with my intent and connect with spirit with my vibration. But every day I notice myself getting distracted. I go, God, how did I get here? You know, how did I get in the middle of this emotion? I don't want to be here. And it's at that point where I need to, you know, let go of that and get reconnected with what I really want to be reconnected with in a spiritual and in a higher consciousness sense. So the point being here is that these things really do take work. This isn't easy, and they take work. And even for highly, highly, so-called highly, highly evolved spiritual people, it still takes work. You know, my Mayan elder friend, Eric Gonzalez, is probably one of the most highly evolved spiritual beings I've ever met. And he works at his spirituality with incredible diligence all the time, praying, smoking his pipe, singing songs, chanting, you name it, all kinds of different different ways of doing it. But the point being, it takes work, and we are living in a time in which we are basically being called upon to do this work, to do the work of our spirituality. And one of the messages I'm trying to get out there is what a great way to do this. What ceremony is such a great way for us to do this? And you know what else is wonderful about this, Mike? And this is certainly something that I've gotten to lately in my own life, and I try to convey this to others. And that is that once we get into the rhythm and flow of this ceremony, it becomes so much fun, such a source of pleasure. I can have days where I wake up and I feel a little funky, and my head's just not where I want it to be, and I'm all these distractions and everything. And I'll sit down, I'll light my candles, and I'll say a prayer, and I'll play my drum, and I'll begin to chant a little bit. And pretty soon, I'm connected again. I'm connected with spirit. I'm where I want to be as far as my vibration. And it's all because of ceremony. So, one of the primary messages I'm attempting to get out right now is that. And the other thing, another aspect of the message of ceremony that I'm attempting to get out there now too is that one of the great obstacles that many people, particularly white people, create for themselves with ceremony is they won't do the ceremony because they'll say, well, they don't have a teacher. Well, it's easy for you to say, Jack, because you met this Mayan elder and you've got somebody teaching you these things and this and that. Well, I don't have anybody like that. I'm just here on my own. Well, what I say to those people is all of us have the ability to begin to start, practicing participating in our ceremonies right away, just on the basis of, we don't need a teacher, we don't need, to follow a particular protocol or anything like that. We begin by getting ourselves a candle. We stick it on the table in front of us, we sit down, we relax, we breathe. One of the most important elements of any ceremony is relaxation, is breathing. In my opinion, there are many different forms of meditation. Meditation is ceremony. Yoga can be ceremony, based upon what we do with our with our vibration, when we participate in meditation and yoga. And all those things always begin with breath. They always begin with relaxation. It starts there. You light a candle, you breathe. You don't need any particular protocol as far as how you pray or what you say to spirit. And if you don't have any particular protocol or specific prayers that you say, you just say, hey, Spirit, this is Jack Alice, Thank you for the blessing of this day. Thank you for the blessing of this world. Thank you for the blessing of your guidance. Wow. That's a prayer right there, and anybody can do that. If it comes from your heart, if it comes from your spirit, hey, that's great. And the same thing with singing and chanting and those sorts of things. Anybody can do it. You can just make up all the songs, all the chants I do, I make most of them up. And I just find a nice melody, and I just go with it. And same with playing a drum. You don't have to have any kind of a technical expertise as far as playing a drum. You just bump, 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 bump. Just play the drum. It's a very simple beat. When we play a drum very often, the beat of the drum is the same as the beat of our heartbeat, which all of us are very, very familiar with. Boom, 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 boom. That's a ceremonial rhythm, and we can sing to that rhythm. We can chant to that rhythm, effortlessly, without having to know any words or anything else. So anybody can begin to initiate their own ceremony. They can do it right away. Light a candle, talk to spirit. Begin to whatever other things you want to do as far as singing, chanting. A very important part of my ceremonies also is smoking my ceremonial pipe, which is, again, another wonderful way to connect with spirit and another wonderful ceremonial tool. So that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question, Mike, but that's really where it's at for me these days in terms of traveling around and engaging in these presentations and talking a little bit about the shift in terms of what people really need to know. And then the rest of it is all about not only talking about ceremony but also engaging in a lot of these kinds of ceremonies. Tomorrow I was invited, there's a little cafe here in Burlington, Wisconsin called the Sci-Fi Cafe. And they found out about me, and they heard me at another ceremonial event I was giving. They invited me to come there tomorrow. they're going to be serving dinner. I'm going to give like an hour talk right before sunrise, and then we're going to go hike up into the woods in Burlington, Wisconsin, where there's a sacred site in a forest there. We're going to hike up into the woods, and I'm going to facilitate a ceremonial event up there in the woods. And the woman told me that she's planning on 75 to 100 people. And I'm thinking, good God, how are we going to do a ceremonial event with 75 to 100 people? Anyway, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I'm sure. But
indeed.
And it's very, very exciting. This is a wonderful. I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing than this. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it sounds fantastic and very enjoyable. Now, you've mentioned about vibration connecting us with spirit, and on your DVD, I must say I did enjoy your performance on the singing bowl. I love the pure tone that comes from them. Now, I'm sure a lot of people...
Isn't it amazing how nice the quality of that was, Mike? When I hear that, and when I heard the quality of the singing bowls as it came across on the DVD, I mean, it was just so pure. I was shocked by that. I would have thought that could have translated, but it really did.
It did. It was terrific. It's a very uplifting and sort of energizing sound. But what I wanted to ask you is that there must be quite a few people who've bought them at different times and probably don't quite know how to use them for their benefit. What would you recommend to them?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. To use what for their benefit?
The singing bowl.
Oh, okay. And your question was, how could they use them for the benefit?
Yeah, I mean, from a spiritual point of view, what would they do to raise their vibrations?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. When I was beginning to engage in my own ceremonies, and I needed more musical instruments because I have a very well trained voice. I've always been a very very gifted singer, but I didn't play any musical instruments. And I had my shakers, but that was about it. So I said, I need some more instruments here. So one of the things I did was I went to a kind of a New Age store in Madison, Wisconsin, and they did happen to have, they had a lot of singing bowls in there. And at that point, I didn't even know how to play them. I had never done that before. And I just went back there with a guy who worked there, and he said, well, this is how you do it. And he showed me how you take the little implement that you have, and you rub it along the edge. First of all, you hit it, you go, bing, bing. You can actually hear the tone it makes, and then you take the little wooden mallet and you brush it along the top of the bowl, and that's where the sound of the bowl will then be generated, in terms of and I played every bowl in his store. I probably played 50 of them, and I found two that really felt right to me in terms of just resonated with the vibration that I was looking for. One of them was a very feminine vibration, and it was a very high-pitched vibration, and I decided to go with that one. Another one was a more of a masculine vibration. It was a much lower pitch, and I spent about 2 hours there just playing them all and really narrowing it down in terms of which vibrations fit the best for me. I purchased those two bowls and brought them home, and I put them on my ceremonial altar here. I have a spot. I'm sitting in my ceremonial altar right now, and in front of me I have a candle and my shakers, and then my two singing bowls are at the top of the altar. And basically what singing bowls are it creates a very, very higher frequency vibration. It's a higher frequency vibration. When we talk about connecting with the spirit world, connecting with the spirit world basically consists of raising the frequency of our vibration, because the spirit world is a dimension which consists of higher frequency vibrations. So as we raise the frequency of our vibration, we begin to move upwards dimensionally to the point where we can connect with, these higher frequencies in a higher dimension. It's a nonverbal dimension. It's a non-intellectual dimension, non-academic dimension. It's a dimension just of pure feeling. And the vibrations from these singing bowls, or the tones from these singing bowls, are these higher frequency vibrations. And there are higher frequency vibrations which do, in fact, connect with our hearts, connect with our spirits, connect with our minds, and I mean the good part of our minds. They connect with us vibrationally, and they actually literally lift us up in vibration, so that when I'm playing the bowls or when I'm playing the bowls and singing along with the bowls, I actually am merging with those tones, with those vibrations. I become one with those tones and vibrations. It becomes like a meditation. And pretty soon, me, Jack Alice, here in my physical body, I'm not here anymore. I am basically just, I am that tone, and I am existing in that higher frequency realm. And it's very similar to a meditation, you know, in which you know, a person will basically you know, lose themselves in the meditation.
Jack, I'm going to have to stop you there. You're a great speaker, and I thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you again. You've got some wonderful knowledge, and it was interesting to hear about the singing bowls. I haven't got one myself, so I must thank you very, very much for coming onto the program. It was very enjoyable, and I wish you a lot of success with your DVD. You might perhaps quickly tell people where it's available from.
Yeah, let me get my website. My name is Jack, last name Alice, A-L-L-I-S, and the website is www.jackalice.com, A-L-L-I-S.com, jackalice.com. Everything's there. My website's very comprehensive. My books are there. My DVDs are there. There's a lot of things you can watch there and listen to, and there's probably an archive there from Connecting the Light with Mike Quincy. They can probably listen to one of our past interviews there someplace. I don't know. If they can't find it there, they can find them on your sites, I'm sure. And Mike, right. I thank you for having me here, and I just say to you, keep up the great work. You're doing some wonderful work, you know, I encourage you to keep doing that, and I really appreciate the connection that you and I have made over the years. You clearly are a kindred spirit, and we're definitely we might be doing things a little bit differently, but I think we're headed to the same place, and we're headed in the same direction.
Yes.
and that's really all that matters.
Thank you very much. It's very kind of you to say that. Well, friends, that was a terrifically interesting interview with Jack. 1 minute will allow me to tell you that next week I have Dave Cowan, who's a spiritual coach and teacher, and we're going to be talking about his new book called Navigating the Collapse of Time. So, sounds like another enjoyable day. Thank you very much for being with me. God bless you all. Thank you very much.